Then we're doing a study in Matthew, starting in chapter 5, and this will be on persecution. So one of the callings that we have, or not one of the callings, but one of the warnings we've been given, that if we're going to live a godly life, we're going to be persecuted. And persecution is the word dioko, to set into motion to pursue. And so a pursue is basically the same word as persecution. So if we go on Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, you want to read that, Elijah?
Okay. Happy are ye whensoever they may reproach you and persecute you and say every evil thing against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in the heavens, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you.
Amen. So so persecution comes with that. And the persecution I'm going to talk about tonight is from so-called Christians. And now why I say so-called Christians, people who do not do Christian things, who call themselves Christians, you know, like the Crusades, people killing the Jews or anybody else in that particular format, are obviously, they could be calling themselves Christian, but it has nothing to do with Christ. Now, maybe they might have been a Christian at one time, but their actions are, you know, are demonic when it comes down to. And we're going to see that's very common. Here, I just got a book. This was done in 1850. I'm going to title here. Kevin, when you got it. Okay. It's called The Anti-Trinitarian Biography, exhibiting a view of the state of the Unitarian doctrine and worship from the 1500s to 1700s. And it's showing you the Baptists, when they were called Anabaptists then, how many people were burned at the stake, you know, for not agreeing with the church. And so who is this done by? It's done by church officials. I remember a response from a well-known pastor in Wichita, Kansas, and he said, some of the meanest people I've ever met were in the church. But it shows you we're infiltrated. Mm-hmm. So these are not Christians. It's not, some of the people I met were Christians. No, they were disguised.
Tares.
Yeah, they were, you know, tares met in the field, or darnel among the weeds. They are disguised as Christians. False apostles. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. So we have to be aware of that. We have to teach our children to be aware of it. This is what comes with the territory. And the more accuracy that you have, generally, the more you're going to be pursued to be silenced. Chapter 11, page 188 in the New Testament. No, Corinthians. All right. Come on. And I'll start with verse 13 through 15. For such as these are false apostles, deceitful workers, transfiguring themselves unto the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself does transfigure himself into a messenger of light. No great thing, therefore, if his ministers also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we have false apostles, and there have been false prophets all the way through the history, and we're going to see that. And so the persecution we're looking at is from the inside out, supposedly on the inside. Go to Jeremiah 26, and we'll see it in the Old Testament. Jeremiah is full of it. Quite a battle. Verse 1. Hey, 743 in the Old Testament.
Would you mind giving us a chapter and verse again?
Chapter 26, verse 1 through 8. Here's Jeremiah in the city of Jerusalem in Judea, trying to get people to repent. So what we're saying is the ten tribes Israel have forsaken Yahweh, and they were delivered by the king of Assyria, or taken over by the king of Assyria, about 150 years before this was happening. So they're already gone. They're toast because they disobeyed and fought against, rebelled against Yahweh. Now you have Judah, her sister, in essence, who didn't learn from her sister's lessons that drove them into captivity, committing the same exact sins. And actually, the sins that they were committing were worse than the people they drove out of the land of Canaan. So that's how bad holy people had become. So these are Yahweh's people who have the temple, who go to the temple, who have prophets, who have priests, who have Levites, who have everything around them. Unless this is what happens. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from Yahweh, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, stand thou out in the court of the house of Yahweh, and speak unto the cities of Judah who are entering in to bow down in the house of Yahweh. Now, look at this. They're coming in to worship at the temple, and they're just full of sin. So that is the facade or the makeup that's put upon people, as we'll see other time, called whited sepulchres.
White robes over black bodies.
Yeah. All the words which I have commanded thee to speak unto them, and do not keep back a word. Preadventure, they will hear and return every man from his wicked way. So isn't that great? Yahweh's always trying to give people prayer. And that's why we should always speak. And instead of saying, I give up, they're gone. If Yahweh says speak, you speak. And I shall shall repent as to the calamity which I am devising to execute upon them because of the wickedness of their doing. Therefore shall I say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh, if you will not hearken unto me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken unto the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I am sending unto you, even betimes sending, though you have not hearkened. And I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city will I make a contempt to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets, here's the holy people, and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of Yahweh. And they would say, Amen. Bow down. Repent. Right? No. And it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that Yahweh had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people... Now wait a minute. If these are prophets, supposedly prophets, no different than calling somebody a Christian when they're not a Christian. But they have the gear of the prophet. They should be agreeing. If they're spokesmen for Yahweh, these prophets should be agreeing with Jeremiah, right?
Right. Right.
And we're going to see they have nothing to do with being a prophet of Yahweh.
No, a tree by its fruit.
Yeah, that the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Well, isn't that nice? The priests and the prophets are saying that. We go to verse 20. And so you go through this whole chapter. We'll do the... About that being pursued. There was, however, a man prophesying in the name of Yahweh, Uriah, son of Shemaiah of Kiriath Jearim, who prophesied against his city and against his land according to all the words of Jeremiah. Is he agreeing with Jeremiah? Yeah. So Yahweh is giving him the same words. And when King Jehoiakim and all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, then the king sought to put him to death. But Uriah heard and feared and fled and entered Egypt. Now, wouldn't it have been just nice to say, okay, that guy's gone, right? We're not going to do that. Then entered King Jehoiakim, sent men to Egypt, even Elnathan, son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt, and they brought forth Uriah out of Egypt and took him unto King Jehoiakim, who smote him with the sword. This is the religious leaders. And cast out his dead body among the graves of the sons of the people. Speaking for Yahweh, howbeit the hand of Ahiakim, son of Shaphan, turned out to be with Jeremiah so as not to give him up into the hands of the people to put him to death. So you had probably a prince or a ruler who was protecting Jeremiah. These are the church of today. So we would call them, at that particular time, the Christian church. And if you go to, I don't think we have time. But if you go to 28 of Jeremiah 1 through 17, we're not going to go there, 1 through 17, it tells you a whole other story. Because now you've got false, well, let's just go there. We'll shorten it down. Chapter 28, Jeremiah. Yeah, I was going to go 1 through 17. I don't think we have time. But there was another prophet who was challenging Jeremiah. Now, what kind of prophet is he?
False.
Yeah, false prophet. But according to the king, he's the prophet of Yahweh. Now, are they going to say they're prophets of Yahweh? Yes. Do we have pastors today who will say, well, I'm a pastor. You know, I've been to the seminary. I'm a priest. Anything else? And so we should not be alarmed. It should actually be, if we're not attacked by these people, we should be questioning. Either we live in a very good time, or I'm not doing something right. We kind of have to. We'll just go to verse 10. We got to read 1 through 9. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and brake it. And so when Jeremiah speaks, who is he representing?
Yahweh.
So who is Hananiah fighting?
Yahweh.
So Yahweh says, put a yoke on your neck. Hananiah is going to break the yoke that Yahweh put on your neck. Now I'm breaking the yoke of Yahweh. Wow. And Hananiah spake before the eyes of all the people, saying, thus saith who?
Yahweh.
Wow. Sounds very religious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In like manner will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, within the space of 2 years from off the neck of all the nations. And Jeremiah the prophet went his way. Hey, did Nebuchadnezzar leave after 2 years?
No way.
No, it was just the opposite. So here's a false prophet of Yahweh. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Jeremiah after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of Jeremiah the prophet, saying, go and speak to Hananiah, saying, thus saith Yahweh, yoke of woods thou hast broken, but thou shalt make in their stead yokes of iron. For thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of Israel, a yoke of iron have I put upon the neck of all these nations to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. Moreover, also, the wild beasts of the field have I given unto him. Then said Jeremiah the prophet and to Hananiah the prophet, here I pray thee, Hananiah, Yahweh hath not sent thee. Here we go. Thou therefore hath caused this people to trust in falsehood. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, behold me driving thee away from off the face of the ground. This year art thou to die, because revolt hast thou spoken against Yahweh. So Hananiah the prophet, what happened?
Died.
The same year in the seventh month. And so that's the month of what?
Tishri.
Tishri, very good. Very holy month. That validates a prophet. His words come to pass. Now we go back to Matthew 23. Most of the study will be in Matthew. There are the parable of the sower and the seeds. And there are four different areas where the seed was landing. And the third seed is really what we're going to be talking about, because the third seed, they say the thorns and briars sprang up, and it was the cares of this world and persecution for his sake that they ended up not bearing fruit. And so the objective of persecution is to do what? And then that's what this book was. And when you got it, it was called, you had heresy unless you recanted.
Oh, really?
Yes. And you were not burned at the stake if you recanted. And sometimes that can be good to get you out of town.
What?
To recant. To say, I did not mean, I believe there's a Trinity. I apologize. I said there was no Trinity. And this was on the Anabaptists, just didn't want to baptize the infants.
Yeah.
And this is how bad it got.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So they didn't want to baptize infants, and that's why they're called anti-Baptist, because with the Catholic Church and even the Lutheran, all the infants were baptized. As of today, the same situation in many churches. I was going to someplace with that, but I forgot.
You had to recant or be burned at the stake.
Be burned at the stake, but I was going to go someplace with that, but I forgot. All right, so be around 23, verse 14. Okay. And Isaiah, you want to read 14 through 16.
Yeah.
Now here, let me explain this. Who are the Pharisees and who are the scribes?
The religious people.
They are running the show. You know, so in Jerusalem, you have the high priest. There's only supposed to be one. And who are they family of?
Levites.
Aaron. Levites, but sons of Aaron. They're the only ones who can go into the Holy of Holies. There's two, by the way. It was unheard of. You'll see plural here. So then you have the Sanhedrin, which are what they'll see elders and rulers. Those are the 70 rulers. Then you have scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees. This is the whole church. In essence, the whole Christian church that we have today.
The society.
Now we're going to see what Yahushua is going to say about these Pharisees and scribes. Now proceed. 14 through 16.
Alas, for you who scribe the Pharisees, because for ye devour
you are locking up
houses.
What? Wait a minute. 14.
That's where it is. Chapter 23.
Yeah, but we might have read another version. I'll read it because, let me, alas for you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you are locking up the kingdom of the heavens before men. So you are not entering, neither them who are entering suffer you to enter. Alas, as you seven times. Alas for you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you compass sea and dry land to make one convert, and when it is done, you make him a son of Gehenna, twofold more than you. Alas for you blind guides that say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple is bound. So this whole chapter 23 is addressing the religious leaders of that time. We keep going in verse 27. Isaiah, read 27.
Alas for you scribe and Pharisees, because ye make yourselves like sepulchres whitewashed, which outside indeed appear beautiful, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness.
So remember, the Jews couldn't even touch a grave.
Right.
And why they were whitewashed, because you found out that was a grave and you went around it. If you walked on top of a grave, you were unclean. And as we saw in Numbers 19 a couple of weeks ago, I think, how many days did it take you to become clean again?
7 days.
Now 7 days. And you had to do the third day and then the seventh day. So you didn't want to touch any graveyard. Yeah, and that's what happened, because these are, they're calling scribes and Pharisees white as sepulcher, full of dead men's bones.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, so it's really nice, and sometimes Yahweh could have us say the exact same thing. So you have to, well, that's going to offend them. I want them offended. That's what I'm telling you to say it. And so, okay, boss. And many times Yahweh would tell Yahushua to speak in parables. Oh, hey, boss, they don't get you. They're not supposed to. Oh. Well, that's strange. Don't you want to just hug everybody? No. These people I'm calling hypocrites. And I'm saying, alas, you scribes, or you Pharisees and hypocrites. So he's putting the weight on, because they're going to get him, too. So let's see here. There. You go to 30. Let's go to 27. Oh, we already did that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 33 to 35, Melania. Say it with gusto.
Gusto.
Serpents.
Broods.
Broods of vipers. How should ye flee from the judgment of
Gehenna?
Gehenna. For this cause, lo, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. From among them ye will slay and
scourge in your synagogues.
Some from among them you will slay.
Oh, slay and crucify, sorry.
Slay and crucify. And some from among them ye will
scourge
in your synagogues and
pursue
from the city to city.
And that's what we're studying, persecution. That's the same word, to pursue. It's the same Greek word. 35.
That there may come upon you all righteousness, blood poured out on the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous unto the blood of Zechariah, son of
Barakiah,
whom ye murdered between the temple and the altar.
There you go, they're murdering the prophets who are sent to him. Go to Matthew 26, verse 1.
Wow.
Yes, and that's the religious people.
They're killing us.
Yeah.
And we're going to start looking at the high priest, which is the Eshel. And so that would be the Pope today and Protestant churches. You know, it could be just the rulers, the highest
Rome. It might be seminaries.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, our seminaries, but it's at least the Pope, they got to figure it out. So here's the high priest. 1-3. And it came to pass, when Yahushua ended all these words, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days the Passover taketh place, and the Son of Man is to be delivered up to be crucified. Then were gathered together the high priest and the elders of the people into the court of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they took counsel together in order that Yahushua by guile they might secure and do what?
Slay.
And slay. So that's their intention. That's the religious people. You know, it's amazing with these people that they burned at the stake.
Where did
Christ ever do this? Whatever happened to love your neighbor as yourself in the second commandment? You know, you could ban somebody who doesn't agree with you, tell them to go someplace else, but you're looking at, where is this precedent that supposedly you, as church leaders, including the popes and bishops and everybody else, are doing this? And obviously ISIS is doing the exact same thing today. Right, but the church has done, supposedly the Christian church, but the terrorists in the church is objected to do the exact same thing. To silence anybody who comes against what they have to say. At least our founding fathers gave us security that we can actually speak. And it's in our First Amendment, the freedom of speech. While in England and other countries, there was no freedom of speech. And so the only reason we can have this fellowship right now is because they can't stop it at this particular time. But they have stopped it in the schools. Mm-hmm. And that's what they have done. We've seen all of God, all of God, and all the history of the United States is erased from the school textbooks. And this whole nation was founded by God.
With our money.
Yeah, with their own money. And so you see the adversary and his workmen slowly extracting in order to get rid of Yahweh and his son, which is nothing new. We will persevere. Now you go to verse 59 of Matthew 26. Now the high priest and all the high council were seeking false witness against Yahushua, that they might put him to death, and found not any, though many came forward to as false witnesses. At length, however, there came forward two and said, this man said, I am able to pull down the shrine of Elohim, and in 3 days to build it. And the high priest arising said unto him, nothing answerest thou? What are these against? what are these against thee bearing witness? But Yahushua was silent. And the high priest said unto him, I have put thee on oath by the living Elohim that to us thou say whether thou art the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. Yahushua said unto them, thou hast said, moreover I say unto you, thereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming upon the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent asunder his garments, saying, he has spoken profanity. What further need have we of witnesses? Lo, now we have heard the profanity. And this is the same thing that happened on these persecutions. And so if you said he didn't believe in the Trinity, blasphemy, off of his head. And they would kill people. How to you does it seem? And they answering said, guilty of death he is. Then spat they into his face and buffeted him. Another struck him smartly, saying, prophesy unto us, O Christ, who is he that struck thee? So you see this maliciousness that we got to be prepared for. It comes down to it. It really comes down to that's, you know, this is our boss. And if we stand up for our boss, many times we can hope we don't have to, but we go up there, I'll take it. Now we go to, let's see, 27, chapter 27, verse 1. What do you want to read, 1 through 6?
Now when morning came, all the high priests and elders of the people took counsel against Yahushua, so as to put him to death, and binding him, they led him away and delivered him up unto Pilate the governor. Then Judas, who had delivered him up, seeing that he was condemned, being smitten with remorse, returned the 30 pieces of silver unto the high priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in delivering up righteous blood. And they said, what's that to us? Thou shalt see to it for thyself. And throwing the pieces of silver into the temple, he withdrew, and going away, hanged himself. But the high priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, it's not allowed to cast them into the treasury, since the price of blood they are, and taking counsel.
Right there. And so that is religion, and that is the height of it. What are the heights? Now we go to verse 12. And while he is being accused by the high priest and elders, he answered nothing. So we keep looking at the high priest. And we go into verse 20 to 23. But the high priest and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should claim Barabbas, but Yahushua should destroy. Now the governor answering said unto them, which of the two desire ye that I should release of you? And who is the governor? A Pilate. Now here's a Gentile. Yeah. Here is the non-church person. And he said, this guy's a righteous guy. Let's let him go.
Naturally.
Now isn't that a reversal when we look at it? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what then shall I do unto Yahushua, who is called Messiah? And they all said, let him be crucified. But he said, indeed, what evil hath he done? But they vehemently were crying aloud, saying, let him be crucified. That is the church people at that particular time. Now we go into Matthew 27. I guess we're already there. Verse 38 through 45. Then are crucified with him two robbers, one on the right hand and one on the left, and they who are passing by. Now, these are all Hebrews, probably, that are doing this. And they were passing by, reviled him, shaking their heads, and saying, that man that taketh down the temple, and in 3 days buildeth it. Save thyself. If thou art God's son, come down from the cross. Where is that familiar? Keep your finger here, and go to Matthew 4, 1. That's a real interesting phrase, as we've heard before. Mm-hmm. Then Yahushua was led up into the wilderness by the Ruach to be tempted by the adversary, and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he hungered, and coming near, the tempter said unto him, what?
If
thou art God's son,
speak
that these stones may become loaves. And then if you go down to verse 5, then the adversary taketh him with him unto the holy city, and set upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto them, if thou art God's son, cast thyself down, for it is written. See the similarities? And this is the religious people who are actually instruments of our adversary, running the temple. So we go back to Matthew 27, and verse 47-41. Likewise, the high priest also, mocking with the scribes and elders, were saying, others he saved, himself he cannot save. Israel's king he is. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe on him. Would they?
No.
Of course they wouldn't. So don't ever anybody latch you to say, well, do this, and then I would believe.
No.
That's just a game. He hath put confidence upon God. Let him rescue him now if he desires him, for he saith, I am God's son. And the same thing, the robbers also who were crucified with him were casting in his teeth. Now this is, watch what happens. So we already know the sign. You know, most people say, well, if I just saw something, that I would maybe even believe, something supernatural. So obviously the scribes and Pharisees watched him heal people. They were present. They could come back to the high priest and say, this guy's the real thing.
They did. They said, see if he would heal on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
They were watching to see if he was going to do this. And he did.
Yeah,
they
wanted
to persecute him.
Yeah. And so obviously they know he's from God. So really, who are they attacking? Who are they running out of town but Yahweh?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the parable about the vineyard, where Yahweh had a vineyard. And the people were supposed to give the fruits, and Yahweh sent servants, and they killed the servants. Then they sent other servants, and they killed those servants. And he said, I'll send my son, they'll respect my son. And they said, the heir, let's kill him, and this will be our plantation. And so here we got it right here, and it's right in the middle of the church. And watch what happens. Now from the sixth hour, darkness came upon all the land until the ninth. 3 hours of blackness. That's kind of ominous.
Ominous
to say. That's quite a coincidence. Now, there's some other coincidences that are about ready to happen. Okay. And we go to 51. Let's see here. And lo, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom into two, and the earth was shaken, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened. And many bodies of the holy ones who had fallen asleep arose, or awoken, that's Egyro, and coming forth out of the tombs after his arising, entered into the holy city and plainly appeared unto many. So now I've got an earthquake. I've got 3 hours of darkness. Now here's the Gentile.
And your resurrections. Can you imagine Abraham Lincoln and
walking down?
You hear Martin Luther King and stuff walking around like, hey, it's George Washington, what are you doing here?
That's pretty good. And the centurion and those with him, this could have been Cornelius, potentially. And the centurion and those with him, watching Yahushua, seeing the earthquake and the things coming to pass, were violently affrighted, saying, truly, God's son was he. And what did the church people say? If thou art God's son.
Yeah.
And so here it is, truly, that is the son of Yahweh. Quite a testimony for the Gentiles.
How big was the rent?
Yeah, the temple veil.
The veil is like 30 or 50 feet tall.
Yeah, very tall.
Thick.
So, it's like a curtain on a movie theater.
Which is terrible, because
that's
now it's exposed. The Holy of Holies is exposed. But there's nothing in there, because the ark was already taken away by people a long time ago, so there's just a rock in there. And in verse 62 to 66... And on the morrow, and so all, remember these high priests and scribes just witness all these same things. And on the morrow, which is after the preparation, the high priests and the Pharisees were gathered together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we have been put to mind that that deceiver said, while yet living, after 3 days will I awaken. That's Egyro. And they go ahead and secure it. So even those things, they know he's the Son of God. That's the difference, is they know that he's the Son of God and they want nothing to do with him, and they don't want their congregation to have anything to do with him. So this is really usurpery. It's really like a coup that's happening on the kingdom of Yahweh with his priests and spiritual leaders, Pharisees and so forth. We'll go to 28, verse 1. And late in the week, when it was on the point of dawning into the first of the week, came Mary the Magdalene and the other Mary to view the sepulchre. And lo, a great commotion occurred. Before I have to tell you, they've got guards. Pharisees put guards at the tomb. Verse 2, and a great commotion occurred, for a messenger of Yahweh descending out of heaven and coming near had rolled away the stone and was sitting upon it. Now, you know, this is great for the guards. See what happens then? They're going to say, tell the same testimony to who? The high priest. If anything, that should convince. No, on the contrary, no, it doesn't. No, not to convince, because they already know.
Yeah.
So the whole difference is they know. It's just like our President Obama. Right. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's not ignorant. He's deliberately working in lawlessness. He's the man of lawlessness, like the Bible. He's, you know, not the Antichrist, but he is Antichrist by all means, right. But he's not the Antichrist or the beast, but he's working lawlessness, and he knows exactly what he's doing, regardless of what comes out of his mouth. Now, his appearance was as lightning, and his clothing white as snow, and for fear of him, they who were keeping watch were thrown into commotion and became as what?
Dead man.
Dead man. I mean, they had every right to do that. Yeah. You know, that's the possum move, huh?
Yeah.
Possum.
Got one eye open and got... Yeah, you know, this guy run me through. Yeah. I mean, he's a messenger of Yahweh. Just quake the whole earth. I'm not getting paid enough on this. I got minimum wage.
No way.
But the messenger answered and said to the woman, be not ye afraid, for I know that Yahushua the crucified you are seeking. Just a great deal. Now we go to 11 through 15. Now as they were going to, lo, certain of the guard went into the city and reported unto who? The high priest. All the things that had come to pass. They should have said, oh, we repent. He is the Messiah. We made a terrible, terrible mistake. No. And being gathered together with the elders and taking counsel sufficient pieces of silver gave unto the soldiers, saying, say you, his disciples coming by night, stole him while we were sleeping. Now, these are the same high priests in the book of Acts. So let's go to Acts chapter 4. They know all this. Now the day of Pentecost has happened. And this guy, Yahushua, is not going away. Now his messengers, I mean his disciples are doing things. So chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. You want to read that, Elijah? Yeah.
That's what else do I
Acts 4, 1 through 7, page 122.
Okay, I got it. But as they were speaking unto the people, the high priests and the captain of the temple and the
Sadducees
came upon them, being tired out because of their teaching the people, and announced in Yahushua the resurrection from among the dead, and they thrust them on their hands and put them in custody for the morrow. For it was evening already. Howbeit, many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of men became about 5,000. And it came to pass upon the morrow that they were gathered together of them, the rulers and the elders and the scribes in Jerusalem, also Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of high priestly descent.
So everybody's here. Go ahead, read seven. Oh.
And sending them in the midst, they began to inquire in the matter of power, or in what matter of name did ye do this?
Yeah, that's when they raised the person who had been sitting at the gate. Beautiful, and restored his feet. The power that comes on there. But we see the same individuals who just was there when Yahushua crucified. You know, this is 40 days later after the ascension, approximately right after that. And then all this happens, you got the day of Pentecost happening. Now we go to chapter 5, verse 17. Here they are again. But the high priest arising and all who were with him. You know, it's, what you have to see, it's not Pilate. It's not the Gentile rulers. Now, they could have done it, but it's the religious people. So, we must learn our lessons. Yahweh is very emphatic on teaching us our lesson that in our seminaries, and many times those are the ones, like Bollinger says, who with their pen knives shred the word of Yahweh. They don't attack the Christian. What they try to do is dismantle this book and teach their ministers that it's not true.
Like you're doing in schools today.
Yeah, and so they can, yeah, that's right,
exactly.
To eliminate it into just a big allegory, you know, a big, nice story. I had one teacher that said, well, we don't know if King David actually lived. And she was teaching the Old Testament. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because that was the Christ line. So if King, well, right, so if King David never lived, there was no Messiah. You know, I mean, but that's the person who was teaching. And she graduated from Princeton Theological Seminary. And here's just an example. Harvard was, about Harvard.
Oh, I remember the guy's name.
No, but it was the first school, university in the United States.
The first school
was there to bring knowledge, that all knowledge comes from God and His Word. And the whole of life is to serve God and Jesus Christ. And now Harvard is the farthest thing from Yahweh, and actually it's anti-Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And so most of our big universities were all Christian institutions.
That's where they came from.
That's what they did. Now it's just the opposite. They are the anti-Christian institutions. They are against Christ. Let's see, 5:17. Let's see here. And the high priest arising, and all who were with him, being a sect of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy and thrust their hands upon the apostles and put them in the public ward. But a messenger of the Lord, the messenger of Yahweh by night, opened the doors of the prison. You know, just, and so one thing after another after another after another.
It's a sign. I just have to see a sign.
Yeah, it's the same way with our guys today. No, they know. They already know. Now, Paul was an example of great deception, and he finally came to his senses. But we know that the messenger let them out, and they go get the guys, and they're gone. And they're in the temple speaking again. And then it would go to chapter 26, and here's Paul's testimony of his deliverance. But he was working for the high priest. Now chapter 26, verse 8 through 12. What incredible is it, judge, with you that Yahweh, the dead, does awaken. Remember that raises Egyro. So I really, really encourage people to go through your Bible, and here's all the uses of Egyro. There's about 100. And just write Egyro again in every verse. That's the truth. It's awakening, not raised. It shatters all the, I mean, not shatters, but it's just showing you asleep, awaken, sleep, awaken. Very simple. That's the whole truth of the whole word. I therefore imagine to myself that against the name of Yahushua, Paul's talking this, against the name of Yahushua the Nazarene, it was needful many hostile things to bring about, which also I did in Jerusalem, yea, and many of the saints, I myself in prison shut up, the authority from who? The high priest, those plural, or two, having received, and when they were to be put to death, I brought against them my vote. Religious guy? Absolutely. And throughout all the synagogues, oftentimes punishing them, I would fain have compelled them to defame and being exceedingly mad against them, I went on to pursue them as far as even the outlying cities. Amongst which things, being on a journey unto Damascus with the authority and commission of the high priest, at midday on the road, I saw, O king, from heaven, from the splendor of the sun shining around a light, and around them who were with me were journeying, and when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying unto me, in what language?
Hebrew.
In the Hebrew language. Saul, Saul, why me art thou persecuting? There's the persecution again. Who is he persecuting? So when we're being persecuted, who's being persecuted?
Yahushua.
Okay. And Yahweh. Yeah. So it's and so when Yahushua is being persecuted, who's being persecuted?
Yahweh.
So it goes all the way uphill. And so we've got to realize we live in a present evil age. That's in Galatians 1. And so it comes with the territory. We're in a very blessed time in relationship to other times. And so we should be that much more bold to not be afraid of persecution. I'm not afraid to prophesy, to speak in tongues, to do anything, to lay hands on people, to speak the gospel. Now we go into 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Yahushua, whom thou art doing what?
Persecuting.
Now we go to 2 Timothy 3. Verse 12, that's page 219. Now, Isaiah, you can read that.
First Timothy.
Yeah, 319. Did I say that? 312, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
2 Timothy.
313. Where
else? Sorry, go ahead. Once. I want to first Timothy.
All right. Okay, wait. 312?
Yeah.
First three. Chapter 3.
I don't know. I'll check
that. Ye all who are chosen to live in a holy manner in the Messiah, Yahushua, will be
Persecuted.
He's right.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay. Will be persecuted. That's right. Yeah, and all who are determined to live in a godly manner in Christ Yahushua will be persecuted. Mm. That's right. So that's us. If we live godly, if we don't live godly, we won't be
persecuted.
So what are we encouraged to do?
Live godly.
To live ungodly.
Oh, I see.
Why do I, so if I live ungodly,
people get mad at you.
I don't bring any attention, I don't get persecution. And that is the training of the adversary. And we see at the last, Revelations 12, 13. We'll finish up. Page 259.
12, 13.
For if thou art the Son of God. Now, how did that ring in Yahushua's ear? I heard that before. That's when I started my ministry. The same question, if thou art the Son of God, and now I just have a different mouth saying the same thing. You know, my force is working against you. And he wants to say, I am the Son of God, I am the Son of God. No. Guess what? He won. The adversary lost. So don't take the bait. 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he pursued, there's persecution, pursued the woman who had brought forth the man-child, and there was given unto the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the desert, into her place, where she is nourished a season and a season and half a season from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river with the dragon, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was angered against the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed, and with them were keeping the commandments of Yahweh. Who does he make war with? Us. That's all right. We got a big commander-in-chief. Is really equipped us because he's given us all, by the shield of faith, he shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. and holding the witness of Yahushua, and he stood upon the sand of the sea. So we'll stop there.
It almost sounds like words, like when he's talking about the river coming out of his mouth, like the words that cause him doubt and fear.
Could have been, or it's a physical thing of trying to destroy him, you know, like a flood like Noah.
Words would destroy too.
Yeah, and all of a sudden the earth is opened up, and all of a sudden it swallows it up, and sitting on the other side of the big ditch, you know, the Grand Canyon goes whoop. Yeah, so I mean, in a desert, if you're in a desert, floods can be very devastating.
Right.
Because water comes very quickly. But if I do a Grand Canyon, then all of a sudden, sitting on the other side, it's like, yeah, it's like Moses on the other side of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Chicken.
Yeah, I keep looking at it. A little closer. Get the thing. Down. Okay, we'll stop there. Wendy, would you like to give a prayer and the ending prophecy to the camera? You got her on camera? Wendy.
Filter, please. Thank you, Father, for the words we heard tonight. Thank you for the prophecies, for the interpretation with tongues. We thank you for the words that you've blessed us with, and that we will get our hearts open and our minds open and receive it with joy and gladness. We thank you for those things, Father. My children, I have called you here for a reason, to hear my words spoken by my people. Receive these words with gladness, and don't be afraid to put them into use. The reason I'm giving them to you is because you need to apply them to your life. Apply these words to your life, and you will see strength arising out of your loins, out of your muscles, everywhere. You'll see strength, physical strength, and as well as spiritual strength to fight the wicked one. Know the more of my words that you put on in your life and achieve and attempt to achieve, the more strength you will receive to fight.